Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
My name is Bill.
So we're on episode 40.
The captain of the Detroit Red Wings, Henrik Zetterberg.
Yeah.
Number 40.
This one's for you.
That's my team, baby.
That's right.
Just win.
And I'm drinking out of the Red Wings mug
tonight. Adrian's a Canucks fan, and every time he comes over, I give him my Detroit Red Wings mug.
like a jerk.
Just to piss him off.
That's right, man. That's all good. So how have your, what have you been up to since the last episode?
Not much, man. Just, we're like a week and a half away from a film fest, so.
Yeah, that's right. That's crazy.
Yeah, Whistler Film Festival. I'm going a day earlier now because my plans kind of got screwed up.
Oh, no way.
So, yeah, I'm going to be able to watch Carol opening night.
That'll be cool.
Can't wait.
Yeah, we've got the whole night, too, so we could go take selfies with whoever's there.
Yeah, we can get shit-faced and eat poutine and hot dogs in minus 5 degree weather.
That's right.
Do you remember that one year that it was so cold out that we went to Zog's? I could barely hold the hot dog in my hand because my hands were so frozen.
Totally, man.
Whistler could be so brutal.
That year was brutal, man. Yeah,
it's maybe the coldest I've ever been in.
Yeah, by far. And you don't wear a jacket, too.
No, I don't.
It's hilarious.
I don't own one. I mean, West Coast of Canada, baby.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You can get by without one.
Yeah.
I've been playing Metal Gear, The Phantom Pain. That's taken over my life, man.
Nice. Like,
day in, day out, every waking hour. It's so good. It's a fun game.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm having a blast with that.
Is that your game of the year so far,
You think? I would vote for that, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't played Fallout 4. There's a lot of games I haven't played yet, but it's my favorite.
I bought Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Waiting for some patches.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Bethesda game.
Yeah, that's
true. They're kind of notorious for being buggy.
Yeah.
So I'll wait for patches.
Right on.
Plus, I'm playing South Park The Stick of Truth the second time.
Nice.
Xbox released backwards compatibility for the 360.
Yeah, that's right.
Game is awesome. Still love it.
Right on,
Can't
dude.
Wait to maybe you play it.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. I could be into that.
Yeah, you were watching me play it when you came over, and you said it looked pretty cool. So.
Yeah, it looks cool. Yeah. And on the weekend, Liverpool took it to Man City. You sent me a really funny link or screenshot of the Wikipedia entry for the Etihad Stadium, right?
Yeah, somebody edited the it to say that the Etihad Stadium, which is Man City's home stadium, is now the Liverpool Under-19 Training Center. Because right. Liverpool waxed them so bad yesterday.
That was an amazing game. Yeah. I was like shouting, freaking out. It was a good game. I had a lot of fun. For the first time in a couple months, I had a lot of fun watching a Liverpool game.
And United was 1-0 up with 85 minutes gone. And then Watford got a penalty and made it 1-1. And I was livid, throwing shit, jumping up and down like a madman in anger.
Yeah.
And then they won in the 90s, first minute.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, United, baby. Second place.
Yeah, we did you guys a solid.
Yeah.
Beating Man City.
Damn right you did.
That's right.
Thank you, Jurgen Klopp.
He's the man, dude. Yeah. I had a feeling like with Firmino, because he played in Bundesliga, the German league. So it's a
fast league, man.
Yeah. They go hand in hand, those two. Jurgen Klopp, manager, and Firmino just... I get the feeling Brendan Rodgers didn't know what to do with him.
Nope.
He was one of the biggest signings Liverpool made, so it looks like he's opening up with Jurgen Klopp at the helm, so it's exciting.
And my Packers finally woke up today.
They did.
Big time.
Yeah, in the second half they woke up.
It's hilarious, because it was like 9-6 at half or something like that, and I was just like, fuck, that's like a really high-scoring hockey game.
Yeah,
that's come on.
Right, yeah.
And then, boom. Yeah. They had 30 points on the board.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just wish James Starks did more for me today, but... Nobody expected anything out of him.
Adrian, it's fantasy football.
Yeah. I'm poised to go 7-4. I'll be, I believe, still third in the league. I would have had a chance to go number two. But
dude, it's your first year.
It is. Yeah, it's crazy.
Not bad.
Yeah, not too bad.
I guess the other really big thing this week is we found out we're going to be able to see Hateful Eight in 70.
Oh, that's right. That's going to be awesome. Dude.
Yeah, so it's playing in Vancouver at the park in 70mm. I'm hoping to see the press screening.
I will drop whatever
happens. Get on the boat and go to Vancouver and see the press screening.
Yeah, so, why not?
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to have a chance to see it in 70mm, so I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, that's cool because the nearest place it's playing, I believe, Portland has it.
Yeah, because Cinerama doesn't have it. They got Star Wars.
Yeah, they must have some kind of exclusive deal.
Yep.
Big victory for us, though, right?
Yeah, totally, man. And, and if we can't see the press screening for some reason, and it's opening on Christmas Day at the park, so...
I'm rolling over there.
Yeah, I don't...
Christmas Day.
I don't really do much on Christmas other than watch movies, so...
Yeah, that would be a nice gift.
You know, I won't watch the Will Smith movie Concussion or Joy.
Ah.
I'll watch them on Boxing Day.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm going to see Hateful Eight.
Cool. You have anything else before we move on? Cool. Well, I guess we can get into the first part of our show, The Rant, where we rant about anything movie-related. What do you have for us this episode, Bill?
What's your idea of a big movie opening?
Really depends on time of year, all that stuff. There's a lot of factors, but I know where you're going with this.
Mockingjay Part 2, the Hunger Games movie, opened this weekend. Really big film.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of people like it.
Yeah.
Guess what, folks? It only made $101 million.
That's it.
Only made $101 million. Like people, Lionsgate, the company that owns the film, their stock went down 3% because it didn't make as much money as people wanted it to make. It made $101 million.
That's insane, dude.
You're all idiots.
Decline of cinema.
Not to mention, it made $150 million overseas.
Oh, it did?
You guys are doing okay.
It's going to do like $500 million by the time all is said and done.
Like nothing is really opening against it until Star Wars, pretty much. So it'll continue doing big business. You guys will be fine. Calm down. It's still over $100 million.
Ooh.
Yeah. Idiots. Rant over.
Yeah. Good rant, man. I got to say, I agree with you. Like, I don't know why there's so many armchair box office gurus out there. It's stupid.
I'm pretty sure Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse would have liked $20 million.
Yeah.
Let alone $100 million.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
My rant is about remakes, reboots, whatever you want to call them. Was it last week they announced the Memento remake?
No.
Yeah, there you go. Bill says no.
No.
Everybody freaked out. We don't know the details of a Memento remake. I'm not against it.
Is Memento really that old?
Like, no.
Fuck off.
No. Well, the thing is, like, it went totally underseen, right? So,
yeah.
If anything, I really hope that it just helps people seek out the original, which they should have already. But the general public, I don't think, has seen that film.
Is Memento subtitled? Did I not know that? Like, is the reason people haven't seen Christopher Nolan's second film?
Yeah, generally speaking, they only remake foreign films.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Or Zack Snyder films.
That's right. here's the thing. 2 days after Memento remake was announced, Wages of Fear was announced, with Ben Wheatley at the helm. Now, Ben Wheatley is an amazing filmmaker. Everybody freaked out going, yes, Ben Wheatley, Wages of Fear. Wages of Fear is... There's already been a remake of that called... is it The Sorcerer?
The Sorcerer.
Yeah.
William Friedkin.
Still haven't seen that yet. I'll be putting that on my list. There was a remake of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and I preferred the original myself, if you want to put me on the record. Second one's... pretty damn good, too.
Yeah, and like Let the Right One In.
Yeah, Let the Right One In. The remake was...
Remake's great.
It was really good. Yeah.
I guess you can do it right.
Yeah. So I say, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think anybody here is saying, we're going to do it better. They're just saying, well, it's all business at the end of the day. They just want to make money. At the end of the day... you can skip it if you want, so calm down.
With Ashton Kutcher in the Guy Pearce role. No, I'm just joking.
But. Oh, man. Who would you cast?
I don't even care. Movie? Like, I don't even know. Like,
you don't care?
No. Like,
you're going to see it opening day.
I probably will, but we did a 24-hour movie marathon earlier in the year in February, and Memento played. And yeah. I hadn't seen Memento in, like, probably 10 years,
yeah,
which is kind of a shameful thing to say, but... I forgot a lot of that film, and that film works like a mofo, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great film.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I forgot a bunch of the beats in that film. They hit me just as hard.
What if they get Mark Ruffalo to play the lead?
It doesn't have subtitles.
Tom Hardy.
It doesn't have subtitles.
All right.
I don't like that.
I say bring it on. I don't mind. Cool. Let's get into the review portion of the show. We're going to bring you three reviews. And the first one is for The Hunger Games Mockingjay Cash Grab Part 2.
Nice.
Let's talk about it.
You saw Peter, didn't you? Did you tell him hi for me? We're old friends, you know. We had adjoining cells in the Capitol. We're very familiar with each other's screams.
I'm going to kill Snow. Nothing good is safe while he's alive. And I can't make another speech about it.
Now you're talking.
All right, so Mockingjay Part 2, why don't you lay down the groundwork for us? You could read the synopsis from the first one, and I wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah, well, once again, my friends at IMDb, bring in the thunder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So this one's directed by Francis Lawrence, like the first one. As the war and pandemic escalates to the destruction of other districts by the Capitol, Katniss Everdeen, the leader of the rebellion, must bring together the army against President Snow, while all she holds dear hangs in the balance.
Oh, that's fucking
Adrian's
cheesy,
just snickering
man.
At me right now.
That's brutal.
IMDb, folks.
Yeah, was that part one or part two?
I think somebody, I think this pretty much says it all. Part one, I did like the film.
Okay.
But I always had the feeling that, you know, part two has to deliver for part one to be a good film.
Yeah.
Part two did not deliver. So part one was more or less just a shitty trailer.
Yeah, it's all it is. I estimate, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, there's 3 hours of filler between part one and part two. Yeah. And the runtime between the two of them is about, what, 4 hours, 20 minutes,
something like that. Yeah.
So there's about 80 minutes of film between the two of them. That's inexcusable, man.
I am a defender of the first film, though. I did like it. Maybe it's because I hate saying this. I really hate saying this, but maybe because I read the book.
Yeah.
But because I knew the book, I think I was able to fill shit in.
Okay.
Because, man, they glossed a bunch of stuff over.
Yeah.
And it was really bad in the second film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you haven't read the book, so you don't know, but my God, they glossed a lot over.
Yeah.
And this time it pissed me off.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one thing I wanted to mention. I mentioned this to you just before we started recording. I call him Thor Jr. I'm just going to use dumb names here. What's his name? Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah. Thor Jr.
Thor Jr. His character arc is not earned in this part. All the way through the series, he loves Katniss. There's a relationship there. There's a love triangle. And in the second one, he has a like Hitler mustache pretty much. And he's a terrorist and mass murderer.
And he's like negative emotion guy. He doesn't show anything.
He's gone.
Yeah. He's terrible.
And I get that his district is gone. That's going to do something to you. But all of that wasn't earned.
Yeah.
Going into this film. So his character just feels way off. And
there's supposed to be a love triangle there, but he just has nothing going for him. And you're just like, PETA's a dick too, but you just have nothing.
Yeah.
PETA's literally attacking Katniss, and you want him to be more with Katniss than you want him to be with Gale.
Yeah.
She has like no choice in the matter because Gale is just terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a weird thing. And for about the first 90 minutes of this film, nothing happens. And when things happen, you just question everything the characters are doing. Like there's this elite squad of fighters, the best of all the districts, and they make the dumbest choice for where they're going to crash out for the night. It's just beyond stupid. Any person who's ever played Call of Duty would be like, yo, guys, I think we should go camp up there instead. So a lot of stupid decisions in this movie.
A bunch of scenes just go on forever. And these scenes could have been taken care of with maybe a sentence or two of screen time. And then it just could cut to the next scene.
Yeah.
But no, they have to go and explore for 5 minutes in a tunnel. where nothing happens.
Yeah.
Or they walk across a city where nothing happens.
Yeah.
And it's padding.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Just stretching out that runtime.
Yeah, because, you know, it only made $100 million this weekend, but that's $100 million it shouldn't have had because it should have been one film.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. There's about a 10-minute sequence, I'm guessing here, where Katniss goes to Julianne Moore. I don't know their names. I'm just going to say Julianne Moore. And she goes, I want to go to the front lines. And she's like, no, you're going to stay here. You're going to do this. Okay, but I want to go to the front lines. She's like, no. And then they talk to Philip Seymour Hoffman about it. They have this big talk about it. Katniss goes to the front lines anyway.
Yeah.
And they show how she does it. And she gets there. They make a big deal out of it. Then they cut back to Julianne Moore and Philip Seymour Hoffman. And they have another scene where they address that she went to the front line.
Yep.
Why not just fucking cut all that? Put her in the front line and, hey, you know, you've cut 10, 15 minutes off your stupid movie.
Thanks for bringing up Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, CGI Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah. The stuff that he shot was painful to watch.
It is.
I miss that guy, man. He was really damn good. I'm kind of wondering why he was in this film to begin with, but, you know, whatever. You know, he can't just keep on making Paul Thomas Anderson films and want to be rich.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there is an obvious point in the film where they ran out of Philip Seymour Hoffman footage. And, yeah, CG Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, they were like, yo, go get that guy from Lucasfilms who totally bastardized Hayden Christensen's face in the last Star Wars movie. Let's do that.
Yeah.
It was that bad.
It kind of was. And, you know, they figured it out in Fast and Furious. Furious 7.
Yeah.
With Paul Walker. And, yeah, it was just, like, really obvious they ran out of footage. I think the acting is okay in the film. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lawrence is good, I guess.
She's serviceable.
Yeah, like, I don't mind her. Josh Hutcherson is not good.
Yeah, he's pretty bland.
Yeah, both the men are terrible. Thanks for making me not like Julianne Moore.
Yeah, she's garbage.
Total garbage. Natalie Dormer from Game of Thrones. Pointless.
Two lines in the movie.
Yeah. Jenna Malone. Like, you had a great one. She like, Jenna Malone shaved her head and had two lines in the film. Yeah. Just everything was just kind of a waste.
Yeah. Woody Harrelson, some of the best, he had some of the best stuff in the first two movies.
Yeah.
Totally disappeared.
Yeah. As 2 minutes of screen time, the whole entire film.
Yeah. I'm going to say something that's kind of crazy. This film, to me, died when Cinna died. That's when I stopped caring about this series. When Lenny Kravitz took on that character, he surprised me with how good he is. And I think that was honestly the last character I cared about in the franchise. So, yeah, I've been on the sidelines for a while now.
I had a feeling you weren't going to like this one.
Yeah, because you knew what was going to happen.
Just from, like, the... I kind of warned you. I said that it gets really bad.
Yeah, you warned me, like, last year.
I know. And you were so not into the last film. And I'm like... No. And it's so funny because I honestly didn't know if you were going to see this film.
Yeah, I really didn't want to. If it wasn't for the podcast, I would not have seen this.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, man. I do it for our fans, you know, yeah, our dozen or so fans.
I don't have much more to say. Yeah. A disappointment, man. I've defended this whole entire series.
Yeah.
And congratulations, you lost me. That's right. Really did.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk about one more thing. There's one emotional beat they really missed. There's one major character, I won't say any names, but there's a major character who dies in this film. That's to be expected. There's war and there's death. And when that character dies, it's just kind of like, snap your fingers. Okay, let's move to the next scene. There's no acknowledgement of it. There's sort of a, you know, sort of a callback to it. But man, I was just like, what are they doing? How do you drop the ball on that?
Yep.
And there's some terrifying things that happen in this film. And I kind of wonder why there wasn't any backlash over that. There are some straight up terrorist attacks that happen in this film. Do you remember when Gangster Squad had one shooting inside a movie theater? And of course, it's terrible that that actually happened before the movie came out. So they had to reshoot it. Now, I'm not suggesting they should reshoot it, but I don't recall reading any kind of press or publicity where they maybe should have been more respectful and said, hey, you know, there are some things that happen here. And we're sorry, but this is our film. Whatever. Some kind of acknowledgement. Something. Why does The Hunger Games get a free pass? I don't get that.
Because it's The Hunger Games.
I guess so. But Gangster Squad was Warner Brothers. It's a pretty big studio.
Yeah.
Versus Lionsgate. I don't know. It's a complicated issue. I won't get too much into it, but just wanted to add that.
This is my public service announcement to everybody to maybe watch Battle Royale if you haven't seen it instead.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's on Netflix.
Yeah, check out Battle Royale.
It has the dreaded subtitles, but it's really violent, so it's cool. Kids killing each other. That's a fun time.
Oh, it is. And it's devastating.
Yeah, it's an amazing film.
It's great.
I love that film. Yeah, better than Hunger Games, I'll tell you that.
Oh, by far.
But yeah, if you were to star rate the film, and will this be on your worst list?
It won't be on my worst list. I'd give it about a 1.5.
Nice. I think I'm about 2.5 out of 5.
Okay.
We're talking C-.
Oh, man, such a bad movie. All right, I've had enough of The Hunger Games. Yeah. Let's put this bullshit franchise to rest.
Yeah, until they come up with a new story featuring PETA as the lead character.
Oh, man, I hope they change his name to Peter like it should be. What a stupid name.
He makes bread, dude. His name is PETA.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, just put that together now.
Nice.
Oh, PETA. Yeah, terrible.
Hook me up with a rap, yo.
Some imagination right there.
Stupid.
Yeah.
All right.
Next.
All right. Well, let's move into something that's a lot better than this. Let's talk about Spotlight.
We need to focus on the institution, not the individual priests. Practice and policy. Show me the church manipulated the system so that these guys wouldn't have to face charges. Show me they put those same priests back into parishes time and time again. Show me this was systemic, that it came from the top down.
Sounds like we're going after law.
All right, so Tom McCarthy's Spotlight. Why don't you lay down the groundwork for us, for anybody who maybe hasn't heard of this one or doesn't know the premise.
So it's the true story of how the Boston Globe uncovered a massive scandal of child molestation and the giant cover-up that happened with the local Catholic archdiocese.
Wow.
Just wow, man. I know you're in love with this film, too. This film kind of blew me away.
Oh, yeah. It is spectacular.
It's really good. It's a really classy adult drama.
Yeah.
Where it's just apparent how you only get a few of these every couple of years. It's just watchable.
Yeah.
To the point where after the film, you were like, dude, that could have been like 3 hours longer and I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah. I wanted more.
Yeah.
I was like, give me more. Oh, it ended. Shit.
I know. It's not flashy.
No, not showy.
No. And it's just this amazing cast. I wrote them all down.
Cool.
We're going to give them props.
Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo, Michael Keaton, Rachel McAdams, Lee F. Schreiber, John Slattery, Stanley Tucci, and Billy Crudup.
Hell of a cast, man.
Hell of a cast. I don't think you're going to get a better ensemble the whole year, man. Like, that's probably the best cast in a movie this year.
And they're all fully utilized.
Home runs, man.
Because how many times do you watch a movie like this where it's like, oh, I really wish they had something else with that guy, or that woman was completely lost in the mix. Everybody gets their guitar solo.
Yeah, pretty much. There's as you were saying, there's no lead in the film.
Yeah.
And I your stupid Oscars. Who's going to be the best actor nominee in that film?
I don't know.
Because you know they're going to try to get one, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be Michael Keaton.
Or Mark Ruffalo.
And whoever they don't pick will be the supporting actor.
Yeah.
But that's enough talk about the Oscars.
Fuck the Oscars. I think it's a really great film because nothing in the film is what it seems.
Yeah.
And McCarthy leaves you down this path, and you think you know what's going on, but you really don't.
Yeah, exactly.
And the subject matter alone is disgusting.
Oh, it's brutal.
And you just want these people to nail them.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think I've seen a film that got me this emotionally, drama-wise, probably this year. Yeah. I think it was just an amazing story. Beautiful. I hope everybody gets... I don't know when it's opening. Everybody I've talked to is like, this film is not even like opening in my city.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's brutal.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to mention, and I gave you a heads up about this after we watched the film. My father is a survivor of sexual abuse at the hands of multiple priests. And this one really hit close to home for me. It was very personal because, you know, they do have a chat with the victims. And honestly, I couldn't tell you if those were actors or real people that have been victimized by sexual assault. Those were some of the most real moments to me in the film because I've heard those conversations, whether it was my dad or my uncles or distant relatives. And people who have gone on to, you know, that's why they're called survivors. They often commit suicide or die very violent deaths. They're very reckless with their lives. They're lost, essentially lost children. That never had a chance at childhood and all that. And I don't want to bring it down too much. But man, this,
oh, man, that's important.
Yeah. This really, really hit me big time. And, yeah, definitely did get pretty upset, did shed a few tears. So Adrian did cry, but it was very good. As I was watching it, I was thinking, you know, I think my parents could get something out of this.
Yeah.
I think it could be therapeutic just to hear another side of that story, even though it's not a glamorous or beautiful story. It's one that needs to be told and one that needs to be heard. The script and the pacing of this film, what's the runtime? It's like over
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Seriously. It felt like 10 minutes. Yeah.
Goes flying by.
Yeah. I think it's like just over 2 hours.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel like that at all. It was just fully engaged.
There's a statistic in the film. They talk about, they think that 6% of the priests rape children. And yeah. When I was walking home after the film, I had this thought in my head, the final like line of the film should have been, let's go and get the rest of them.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Cause I want to see that film.
Oh, totally.
Just keep on going, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. you know, a couple shows ago, I talked about how I wasn't going to talk anymore about my top 10.
Yeah.
This is one of the best films of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And you're doing yourself a disservice if you do not see it.
Yes. Go see this as soon as you can.
Yeah.
It is a great, great film. I cannot imagine anybody walking out of it and not appreciating the craft that you see on screen.
For such a tough subject, you feel so good at the end about what they did.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a true mark right there.
Yeah. What's nice is that it wasn't manipulative. They didn't ever dance that line. It was just it was a procedural and factual approach, but they had a good mix of emotions in there too. And even a blend of mystery, because there's a lot of little mysteries going on in this film that aren't revealed toward the end.
No.
And what a payoff. It is so good.
Do you want to hear something really weird?
Yeah, man.
The final season of The Wire, Tom McCarthy acted in the final season of The Wire.
No way.
He was one of the reporters at the Baltimore newspaper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Tom McCarthy is an actor.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So not only is he on, you know, the best television series ever made, I think The Wire is the best TV show ever.
I wouldn't argue with that.
He's an amazing director. He did a really bad film this year called The Cobbler. With Adam Sandler.
Oh, that's right.
It's one of the worst films of the year.
Yeah.
Easily. But he's made some really damn good films, including a really great one a couple years ago called The Station Agent.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Such a great film.
Yeah.
So, yeah, check his back catalog out, except for The Cobbler.
Yeah.
And, yeah, definitely check this one out when it comes out.
It's great.
I'm guessing it opens in everybody's area within the next 2 weeks.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seek it out. It's just a great, great film. And definitely, you'll be hearing about this again from us.
I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to say, but I have a feeling.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, cool.
I like how all of a sudden, you know, after, you know, show upon show upon show, everything being shit.
Yeah.
We're starting to get the flow going, man.
Starting to pick it up.
Yeah, I like it.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. We'll have some festival films to talk about on our next episode.
Can't wait.
Right on. Cool. Anything else for Spotlight?
No, I'm good.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about The Night Before.
So good seeing you guys.
Hey! Hey! Christmas. What are you guys doing here?
It's the only karaoke place that's open on Christmas.
Yeah, it's our tradition.
Yeah.
No, I should remember that you guys come here. But Run DMC, I got to see it.
You liked it?
It was awesome.
Oh, this is what you guys missed. She did Miley Cyrus. She destroyed Wrecking Ball. It was amazing.
Thank you. You still like that song?
Everybody does.
You can cry to it. You can run to it.
Yeah.
You can party to it.
Timeless.
What are you guys doing?
We're having a really fun night, actually. We're kind of going, not too hard, but pretty hard. We're kind of just, it's our last night doing the Christmas.
End of an era.
Last year.
All right. So The Night Before, Jonathan Levine's latest film. What's this all about, Bill?
On Christmas Eve, three lifelong friends, two of whom are Jewish.
Yeah.
Spend the night in New York City looking for the holy grail of parties, which almost seems like a spoiler.
It's not in the trailer.
But that is the freaking IMDb quote.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, they're trying to find a party. Sorry for spoiling that, IMDb pricks. You saw this before me.
I did, yeah.
And you put something on Twitter.
I did.
And I read it, and I was just like, that motherfucker. I'm going to read it out. You ready
Bring
for it?
Yeah, what did I say?
From Adrian's Twitter, at Adrian Charlie. The Night Before is fucking hilarious. Levine makes all the right choices here. His best film to date. What?
He makes great choices here. This is a great movie.
So this film is better than 50-50 and Warm Bodies?
It is better than Warm Bodies.
Oh my.
It is. Probably, I wrote this in my notes, my correction here. This is his funniest film by far. And I think you could flip a coin between this and 50-50.
Wow.
And I love both films.
50-50 is amazing. Warm Bodies is amazing.
Yeah, Warm Bodies is great. But yeah, this, I love The Night Before.
Strong words, sir. Strong words.
I stand by them, man.
Okay, so I didn't think this was bad. I liked it enough. I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of getting tired of the formula.
Okay.
These films kind of have a formula.
What formula is that?
Seth Rogen likes weed.
He does. But he likes cocaine in this one, too.
And mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
I'm just tired of the drug movie.
Yeah.
That's why Seth Rogen and Steve Jobs was so cool.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't Seth Rogen.
Yeah, see, I'm okay with it. I was laughing at all his stuff.
Really?
His stuff hit for me.
I think I might have laughed maybe like four or five times the entire film.
Really?
I still didn't mind the film.
Oh, man.
But I didn't think it was very funny. I just thought it was really amateurish.
Really?
And I saw every beat coming from a mile away.
Well, it's not like a who did it kind of mystery. You know what you're getting when you sign up for this film.
Yeah, but that's just the problem. I've seen the film 40 times.
The thing is, they made some really cool choices with, what, three cameos? There's one for a drug dealer.
Okay, so yeah, the drug dealer guy?
He
might be the best cameo of the year.
Home run. It's not...
If the movie had been about him, it would have been a 5-star film.
Yeah, see?
I'm not going to ruin who the person is.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
Yeah, him, he elevated the film like at least 2 stars for me. It was great stuff.
So Seth Rogen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Anthony Mackie.
Yeah.
This is a cool choice of like a trio. I like all of them.
Yeah, good mix of dudes.
Yeah, they go out and they're going to hit the town hard. And Seth Rogen's wife, who's pregnant, gives him a box of drugs because she wants him to let loose on the night.
Yeah.
And I don't get why it's just him taking the drugs.
I get the sense that Joseph Gordon-Levitt's really not into that scene. And Anthony Mackie had that disclaimer where he's like, oh, I'm a pro athlete, so I can't do drugs. Even though he's doing stuff.
Doing drugs.
It's at odds. He's at odds with himself.
Yeah, and, you know, hilarity ensues, ha ha ha, and it's watchable. A couple of nice little side performances from Mindy Kaling and Lizzie Kaplan.
Oh, they're good, yeah.
Love me some Lizzie Kaplan.
Oh, she is one of the most underrated women in that, like, sort of age group, and she's gorgeous, too.
There's an amazing Mindy Kaling joke in, in Master of None.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Is Mindy Kaling real?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Master of None. We'll be talking about that in a minute.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, you liked this one more than I did.
I did.
I think I'd put it kind of on the same level as The Interview. Except for this one didn't have that really amazing James Franco performance in The Interview.
Oh, okay.
Where he was just going for it completely. And I thought he nailed it so good it raised the film.
Yeah.
Because Franco was just going balls out in that film.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen played against character in that film. He was like the straight guy.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, he's just the sweaty drug dude.
Yeah.
I don't like
He's so funny. He has this bit outside the church where he's talking to a family. I was dying during that scene.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's great stuff, man. I guess what I enjoy about it is, and this is just my personal thing, like I've never done hardcore drugs in my life. I'm not saying that you have or haven't.
I have.
But okay. Okay. But for me to watch a film like this, it feels like I'm on drugs while I'm watching. I'm just giggling like a little stoner pothead, something like that. But it's just everybody coming together. It was co-written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who, the two of them, when they get together, they
make the same film.
Good stuff. Oh, it's so funny, though.
Sorry, film. Had to put that in there.
What is this the same film of?
Oh, I don't know. Just all these films kind of feel the same to me. That's all.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting tired of it. I just, still a watchable film. I just, you know. More Seth Rogen, Steve Jobs kind of roles.
Yeah.
No more stoner comedies.
Yeah. Well, it's only his first step into that. So it's going to take a while.
I hope so.
Tom Hanks' transition wasn't overnight either. So
true.
Yeah. It takes them a while to get out of that. Melissa McCarthy's next in that line.
I saw that trailer for The Boss.
It looks awesome.
Does not.
Oh.
There's a scene where she gets hit by something. And she does like a 450 flip in the air and hits a wall or something. And I'm like, never seeing this film.
Yeah, that part was dumb.
Yeah.
I cannot defend that.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy.
Cool. Yeah. All right, do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Night Before. Would you recommend it to people? Who would you recommend it to?
You know what? As I said, I didn't hate the movie. I thought it was more than watchable. I probably would recommend if you like a light comedy, you'll probably like it.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of comedies out right now, so.
Yeah, that's true. It's been pretty dry lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could do worse.
You could do worse.
Yeah.
You could see The Hunger Games, whatever, part 3.
Yeah, I don't, it's a light recommendation, like 3 out of 5.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'd probably give it about a 4.
Yeah.
4 out of 5. Yeah. Yeah, go see it. Night Before, if you enjoy laughter, go see it.
If you enjoy laughter.
Yeah.
I like that. Use that more often, man. I like that.
Cool. Let's roll into our next part of the show, the Movie Club. For this episode's Movie Club, Bill picked The French Connection from, what's that, 1971?
1971.
Yeah.
William Friedkin.
Oh, man.
During his, like, amazing period where he did, like, The Exorcist and Sorcerer, and he couldn't miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
French Connection, man.
Winner of Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Director, Best Screenplay, and Best Editing when the Oscars actually meant something.
Wow.
Yeah.
And all of that is perfect.
And Roy Scheider was a nominee for Best Supporting. So if he'd won that, it would have, like, swept.
That's insane,
dude. Yeah, just an amazingly huge film. What did you think?
I loved it.
Nice.
Loved it. Start to finish. It's a kick-ass thriller. It's got tons of suspense. It was like, I was like white knuckling it while I was watching it. And I thought, I kept thinking, man, they're just doing it like a foot pursuit. He's just tailing a guy. And this is the most exciting thing I've seen in a very long time.
If you didn't know different, and if you just like show this to people, you could pretty much tell them it's a documentary. It's shot like that.
It totally is.
Yeah. Except for it has Gene Hackman and Roy Scheider in it.
Right. Yeah.
Gene Hackman in his holy shit period, too. Yeah. Like, not just William Friedkin, but Gene Hackman. I miss Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the great actors that nobody talks about.
He is.
Yeah.
And this film, too, doesn't... I don't think it gets enough love.
Nope. It's an amazing film. Yeah, and it's not just Gene Hackman. Roy Scheider is... also very underrated. You know, everybody says Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, Jaws is pretty sweet. But you can't go wrong with this film either. I like the idea of it being a buddy cop film almost.
Oh, it's got that going for sure.
Yeah, but not like a Beverly Hills Cop buddy cop film.
Yeah. Like there's like one scene where they're like buddy copping it.
Gene Hackman's character, Popeye Doyle, is a degenerate.
Yeah.
We'll be honest.
Oh, yeah.
But he's a really good cop.
He is.
He doesn't play by the rules at all, but he's a good cop. And Roy Scheider is like the conscience.
Yeah. 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 Hackman in this film, he's very reckless, but he cares. That's the big thing that really comes through. He really, really cares about his city and catching the bad guy.
He's trying to stop the drug trade coming from France into New York. It's a pretty big undertaking, and it's a really elaborate. I want to point out one scene.
All right.
The car chase.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of that?
That was amazing.
Yeah.
It looks like he's driving the car the whole time.
I wouldn't doubt that he was.
Like, even when he commandeers the car, he does this really cool move where I was like, fuck, I don't think I could pull that off in a car like that.
So, yeah, Gene Hackman's in a car chasing a train that has a bad guy on it. And he hits everything.
Oh, yeah.
Going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And by the time this car chase ends, this car is just a shell of what it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah. And what's cool about it is there's no camera tricks going on there. They're moving fast.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell how fast, but the way they shoot it makes it very believable. And, again, practical effects and cool stunts, man.
Placing the camera in cool positions. I heard they slowed the film down.
Oh, really?
To make it look faster.
Oh, okay.
Which is really cool. I'm super glad you like this one.
Yeah.
French Connection 2 was made a couple years after, and it's really terrible.
Okay.
Popeye Doyle becomes a heroin addict.
Fuck.
It's awful. Oh. It's super bad. Oh, I don't know why Gene Hackman's even in it, but it must have been a good paycheck.
Paycheck role, I guess.
But yeah.
We all got to eat.
Yeah, it's really bad. And it would ruin a lesser film, but French Connection 1 is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really great.
I'm really glad you liked it.
Yeah. A couple things I wanted to mention is that this film does not exist in today's world because there's cell phones that exist right now.
Yeah.
And this one, there's that added tension of, shit, he's following the bad guy. He can't just whip out his iPhone and iMessage Roy Scheider and be like, yo, he's on the train, brah.
There's
smiley
that,
face.
There's that really amazing scene where he's following the bad guy. And the bad guy gets on the train before Popeye gets on. He waves at him.
Yeah.
Oh, such an amazing scene.
That's a classic, like, bad guy moment.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
A few things I wanted to mention that are very obvious while I was watching it. There's a purity scene where there's this guy measuring the purity of the smack that they're buying. They straight up lifted that in the movie Blow. Remember Bobcat Goldthwait?
Yep.
He's like, yeah. But they just let Bobcat Goldthwait play himself pretty much.
Yep.
What's the difference in that? There were some of the car chase scenes and just the driving around, the night shots. Nicholas Winding Refn is obviously very highly influenced by the way it was shot. Just the camera angles, the cool way they shot while he's driving, the point of view, the third person just outside the car, all of that was You could see that in Drive. I'd be curious to watch Drive again.
Yeah.
And this is The Wire before there was The Wire. Yep. Like, this was like, talk about getting a wiretap and they need to get the warrant. And
the cool thing about The Wire too, like the first couple seasons, is technology hadn't really caught up to that show either.
Yeah.
And it was really cool like that too. But, yeah, good call on that. It's probably the reason why I like The Wire so much, because I really like this movie too. But, yeah, definitely. It's great.
It's a great, great film. And if you haven't seen it, if you're like me, you hadn't, I didn't watch this film until recently. So, for this episode, and I'm so glad that Bill put it on my radar, and it's always been there. I just never got around to it.
The cool thing is this Blu-ray is available for like $5.
Oh, no way.
It's super cheap. Everywhere I go, I see it super cheap. So, you know, blind purchase.
Yeah. It looks great and it sounds great too.
Yeah. Make sure you get the director approved Blu-ray. They put one out that was color corrected wrong.
Okay.
And Friedkin got really pissed off and made them re-release it.
Oh, wow.
So the one with William Friedkin's signature on the front is the one you want to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. Great, great film.
I'm glad you liked it, man.
Yeah. Can't say enough good things about it. Just loved it.
Cool.
From front to end. Yeah. What do you have for us in our next episode?
So, I was doing the whole decade thing, but I was kind of getting bored by it. It's really hard to like research movies just by the decade and pick something. If I like a movie, I just want to be able to show it. So yeah. I'm just going to pick whatever the hell I want now.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm throwing out the rules.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this episode's movie is a movie I saw at a film festival in 2011, the Vancouver International Film Festival, and I really liked it. And I thought the movie was going to be really huge, and I thought everybody was going to be talking about it, but nobody was.
Oh, wow.
So here's my chance to try to resurrect it a bit. This episode's film is a film called Miss Bala.
I haven't seen it.
From director Geraldo Naranjo. You've never seen anything like this film.
Wow.
Cool. It's like a kidnapping film. You thought French Connection was action-packed.
Yeah.
This movie's intense, man.
Wow, cool.
It's great. Can't wait to talk about it next episode.
Yeah,
that's going to be awesome. And hey, friends, it's on Netflix.
Nice.
So check it out.
Miss Bala?
Miss Bala.
All right. It's on Netflix, so join us.
Yeah, definitely check it out. And leave Adrian some comments.
Yeah, hook us up. So if you, again, we always throw this on the table. We've had participants in the past for Movie Club. The reason why we call it Movie Club is Bill presents the movie. I watch it. And if any of our listeners want to join in, you're more than welcome. So watch the movie. It's on Netflix. It's called Miss Bala. You have until December 13th to watch the film. And if you want to send us your comments, whether it's through Twitter or through Facebook, you can reach us on Facebook. We're the Green Screen of Death. Our Twitter account is @the_green_screen. Send us a comment if you want to join the conversation. We'll read it out on the next show, and that's how we get Movie Club going.
Just for clarification, it's two words, MissBala. Miss Bala.
All right.
Just want to make sure everybody knows how to spell it.
Okay,
so cool. So I'm typing it in the search on Netflix. They can figure that out.
Yeah. Right on. Cool. Yeah,
cool. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I think it's an amazing film.
Right on. Thanks for that, man.
Yeah, that was really nice to be able to just pick a film and not have to deal with rules.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
I don't like rules.
All right. Let's do it.
Cool.
All right. Well, are you ready to move to our next section?
Sure.
All right. Let's move on to the lightning round. We just talk about other movies we've watched between the last episode and this episode. Did you want to kick it off for us?
Sure, man. My first film is The Hunting Ground, a new documentary from Kirby Dick. Do you know who Kirby Dick is?
No.
he's a pretty big documentarian. He's made some really good stuff. He made a really good one a couple years ago called This Film Is Not Yet Rated.
Okay.
Called the MPAA.
Oh, I watched a bit of that.
It's a really cool documentary.
Cool.
And how, like, the MPAA, when rating its film, stole its film. They pirated it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
fucked
yeah,
up.
It kind of like went against all their rules, and Kirby Dick kind of called them on it.
Wow.
This one's about rape in university and colleges with women and how the universities and colleges hide everything so people will still come to their schools.
Wait, they're run by the NFL?
Pretty much. You say that. One of the things in the film is about Florida State University.
Oh,
and yeah. Who went to Florida State University? Do you remember this?
Every NFL player.
So last year in the NFL draft, the number one pick in the NFL draft was Jameis Winston.
Oh, Jameis Winston, yeah.
Charged twice with rape.
Are you serious?
Both covered up until he had graduated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of the women had a rape kit done. He tested positive for the rape. The woman was bruised, and the university covered it up.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's really gross.
Yeah.
It's really important documentary.
Yeah, seek it out.
Yeah, just the fact that just how evil these universities are, just making these women life hell.
Yeah.
And the first woman who said Jameis Winston raped her had to quit school because all the football fans drove her nuts.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's awful.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's
she's just trying to get an education, trying to improve herself.
Yeah, she went to a party and fuck. Yeah, a really muscular dude who plays football held her down and yeah.
That's
you know the rest. But yeah. It's really it's gross, but you probably should watch it. It's kind of eye-opening.
Wow. Yeah. Check it out.
It's quite good. The Stanford Prison Experiment.
Okay, how is this?
It's good. It's not great.
Yeah.
I've seen this done before. There was a really good version in Europe a couple years ago called DOS Experiment.
Okay.
Which is the same film.
Yeah.
But it's way better.
Oh, I see.
It's a university study where X amount of people become the guards and X amount of people become the jailed people in a jail simulation.
Right.
And just how the guards all of a sudden, when they're in the guard position, get thoughts of more power.
Right.
And actually start going above the rules and beating people.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, but
yeah.
it's good. It's not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, check out DOS Experiment. It's really good. Suffragette.
Oh, yeah. How is this?
Carey Mulligan's new movie.
Yeah, that's right.
It's good. It's not great. About women trying to find the right to vote. And get more power in England, and I forget the time period, but it's early days. And Carey Mulligan's really good. Just the movies is just really dramatic and glossy, and I didn't like that. Lots of like giant score right now to feel emotion.
Oh, feel this here.
Yeah, I don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, manipulative.
The subject matter alone should be enough. Your score shouldn't have to help.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
It's good, but it's not great.
Yeah.
Brand, A Second Coming.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Russell Brand, who I've never really been a fan of. I like to get him to the Greek.
Yeah, he was good in that.
Really funny film.
Yeah.
But I always thought he was kind of a weird dude.
Okay, yeah, he is.
Turns out Russell Brand is kind of reinventing himself as a politician.
Oh, really?
And he's really taking people to task. And I kind of admire that.
Oh, cool.
He has like a giant news show on YouTube that gets 3 million hits every time he posts one.
Oh, wow. I had
just
no idea.
Where he goes, like, watches Fox News and CNN and all those and just tears them apart. It's really good.
Cool.
He's a really interesting guy and kind of surprised me, actually. It's wow. Pretty good.
Right on.
And some TV.
Yeah.
I finished Master of None.
Great show, right?
So good.
Yeah.
Season 2.
Yeah, where's that?
Now.
We need it.
Bit of a cliffhanger, eh? I'm not going to talk about it, but totally. Oh my God.
It's nice the way they ended it.
Yeah. It's, I think we both have a mutual appreciation for Noelle Wells.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
She's my soulmate. I'm calling her right now.
You're married, dude.
Oh, well. I could run into her at a film fest and she could lose yourself in my eyes.
Yeah.
Like, my spell.
Congratulations to Aziz Ansari for just putting out one of the cooler shows of the year.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a little bit too preachy, but I think we need that once in a while.
Yeah.
And one of his like preachy episodes really moved me. It was about, you know, making more time for your parents and
With his real parents.
Yeah, that's right.
And his dad is great.
He's so funny.
I like how every time he says something, he's like, blah, 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 man.
Oh, yeah.
He always puts like a cool little thing at the end where he's trying to be cool.
Yeah, that's right. He's so good in that.
Yeah, I love that show.
And that personal touch just brings it home.
And all of his co-stars, I don't know their names. They're great too. Yeah. They just kind of show up and do like stand-up comedy with him and like little blurbs. And it's great.
And they're a very diverse group without calling much attention to it.
No.
Which I think is great.
I think, and probably my favorite thing in the entire 10 episodes was the Short Circuit 2 part. I'm not going to talk about it, yeah. But my God.
Amazing.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Master of None. get on it. They're very short episodes.
Yeah, only 30 minutes.
Easy to watch.
Yeah. And I watched the first episode of Jessica Jones.
Okay.
And it's really good.
Right on.
And it's really hardcore.
Nice.
Yeah, she is like talking some bad stuff and lots of bad stuff is happening and... I hope you get to see it soon.
Right on.
It's really good.
Wow.
Yeah. That's cool. Marvel on Netflix, man. They're hitting home runs.
Yeah, that's right.
That Daredevil was sweet.
Yeah. Right on,
dude. That's it for me.
Cool. Cool. Good lightning round. So for me, I've got The Wolf Pack. This was a very hyped documentary in which a family lives in an apartment. They never, ever leave. Maybe once or twice a year. They make home movies because all they do is sit there and watch movies. And that's really all there is to this movie. sure, I get that people are freaking out because these are some kids who have not been properly exposed to society. And yes, they're going to have some social issues.
But Adrian, it's so real.
Oh, it's so real.
No, it's not.
It's just a collection of footage. I wish they would have hired an editor. I wish they would have hired a director for this film. This film needed some vision. Needed some. What are they saying with this? What's the point of this movie?
Take the idea of what it is and try to make a concept. And then work with the concept. Because, as you said, it's just them shooting films. And then later in the film, there's a little bit of rebellion. But even that's kind of boring.
Yeah, it's just, they're growing up.
I hate people who go to film festivals and like films that are super slow because, as I said, they feel really real.
Yeah.
Give me plot. If you got no plot, I got no time for you.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's like the most amazing looking film in the world. If you got no plot, I don't give a crap about any of it.
It's all filler.
Yeah.
Just... hey, there's nothing happening. Let's show some footage of them in their Batman costumes. All right. Yeah, they made Batman costumes. I could watch this shit on YouTube.
Yeah. And it was probably funnier.
Yeah, way more funny.
Because they tripped or something and you're like, cool. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enough about The Wolf Pack.
Yeah.
Very boring. Then I watched Call Me Lucky. This is a great documentary.
Oh, dude, I love I talked about this one a little while ago, I was a huge fan. I'm super happy you got to see this one.
It's so good. It's on Netflix.
Nice.
Bobcat Goldthwait directed this film. It's about a man. What's his name again?
Barry Crimmins.
A comedian. Very loud comedian. Very angry comedian. He's got a lot to say. He's got so much to say in this film and in his whole life. And all he wants is to be heard. And man, this is another great vehicle for him to be heard and for his story to be told. And you learn some stuff about him and some other things that go down that's very just heartbreaking.
They always say that comedians, to be a comedian, have to come from a dark place. Barry Crimmins came from a really dark place.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a really funny guy, but you find out why he came from the dark place and... It's amazingly like difficult and you feel for this guy so much. One of the best docs of the year.
Oh yeah, by far.
By far.
Yeah. It looks great. It moves well. There's a style to it where the camera's doing a lot. He does a lot of really cool things with the camera. Even though it's just a Talking Heads documentary, it's just beautifully shot and just so watchable. devastating story that definitely needs to be heard.
So. Yeah, we're not going to give any spoilers about what happens in the film, but watch it.
Yeah, watch it. It's so good.
Bobcat is slowly building a really amazing resume.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see Willow Creek?
No, I didn't see that yet. No.
Yeah, Bobcat's all over the place.
Yeah, and he did World's Greatest Dad.
He's making really sick comedies. He's making dramas. He's making horror films. He's making documentaries.
And he's doing really well.
Yeah. For a guy that was like a really brash stand-up comedian with a really weird voice.
Yeah.
Like, he talked really weird. He's great little resume going on there.
Oh, yeah.
Check all of his films out. I think all of them are really good.
Cool.
Yeah, his first film, I think it was called Sleeping Dogs Lie.
Okay.
And it's a really wacky film, but it's really funny.
Right on.
Yeah, it's got a really gross subject matter that I'm not going to repeat on this podcast.
All right.
It involves, like, having sex with animals.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Is that a Sion Sono movie?
Yeah. He also made a really great movie called God Bless America.
I still haven't seen that.
I freaking love.
Yeah, right on.
It's everything that's wrong with America.
Nice.
It's lovely.
He was at VIFF with that film.
VIFF has the Midnight series, and he brought Willow Creek to VIFF and had a Q&A.
Oh, that was Willow Creek.
Yeah, and he just, he's also been to VIFF for God Bless America, too.
Yeah.
But his Q&As are genius.
Right on.
Yeah. I love the guy. And call me lucky.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
Great film.
Yeah.
Great film. I also watched, this is one, I saw Fantastic Fest, but an opportunity came up for me to review it for another film festival, Liza the Fox Fairy. It's just a sweet, charming, beautiful film. Smile on my face the whole time. It's really great. It's one of those films that I just want to shout from the rooftops, go see Liza the Fox Fairy. Of course, it's going to be difficult to track it down, but when it does become available on demand, check it out. It's funny, cute, sweet. The woman in it she's beautiful and very talented. She's just like this amazing presence on the screen. So I hope you get to see it soon so you can join me in that rally for people to see Liza the Fox Fairy. I'm almost finished Daredevil, the Netflix series, and I'm loving it.
Cool.
I have 3 episodes left, and the stuff with Wilson Fisk, like his background story, that was the best stuff I've seen Marvel do with a villain.
Yep.
And I know it's a long-form storytelling, but still, so much better than any villain they've ever done. I can't wait.
This is when I bring up Lee Pace from Guardians of the Galaxy. The worst Marvel villain of all time.
What are you doing? What are you doing, Lee Pace? So, yeah. Daredevil, really enjoying that. Can't wait to watch Jessica Jones.
Sweet.
That's it for me. Lightning round.
Right on.
Cool.
Some good stuff there.
What are we going to talk about on the next show?
Well, I guess next show we're going to have... Are we going to have a Whistler show?
I think so.
Yeah. I think we might
be joined by some friends.
Yeah, I think we're going to have some friends. We'll have a show. And then I think maybe a week after we'll do a real show.
Yeah.
And on that show, we're probably going to talk about these films.
All right.
Some good ones here. There's one here that I'm like, fuck, Adrian's just going to love the shit out of this film.
Oh, is it a Melissa McCarthy movie?
No, it's a stupid creature movie where somebody might have a flaming sword.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, Adrian's favorite genre of the year.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so we'll get to that later. But November 25th, I really want to see this right now.
Creed. Is that the one? Hell yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's saying Creed is amazing.
Yeah.
We're pretty much the only people that haven't seen it, I think.
Yeah, we are the last people to see it.
I can't wait. Michael B. Jordan.
Hell yeah.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Supposedly he's playing like the Polly role.
That's right. Yeah. I've heard, yeah.
Which is pretty sweet.
And it's from the director of Fruitvale Station.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Opens on a Wednesday because of American Thanksgiving.
That's right.
In case you guys want to see it early. Also the same day, the new Disney Pixar film, The Good Dinosaur.
Yeah, bring it on.
I have no idea what this film is about. I saw a trailer like 6 months ago, and it had no plot in it. It was just like a dinosaur and a little child.
Yeah.
Don't quite know what it's about, but okay.
They've kind of buried this one.
Yeah, like I usually there's usually some like McDonald's toys by now or something.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what it's about, but I really want to see it.
Cool.
I know I usually love Pixar films that don't involve cars or planes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
And the one that Adrian's is going to lose his shit over, Victor Frankenstein.
I'm not sure I will.
Oh, come on, dude.
Yeah. Marina's going to hate me for this, but I'm not exactly the biggest, what's his name?
James McAvoy
fan.
Really?
I like his stuff, but he's not a big selling point for
me.
And Harry Potter, he's pretty good, but this one I'm kind of lukewarm on. Why are they already remaking I, Frankenstein? I don't get it. It's just wrong. Don't remake I, Frankenstein. How many times do I have to tell you?
Yeah. I'm still going to see this one, but it looks like a dumb, stupid film, and I usually don't like these, so it'll make for good podcast where Adrian says, I love this film, and I hate this film.
No, I'm sort of lukewarm on this one.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's it for that week, and December 4th, Krampus.
This looks badass, dude.
I know. Like, it looks looks like a lot of fun. I don't quite know the whole legend behind Krampus. I think it's like a European devil Santa.
It's gotta be.
Or something.
Yeah.
I don't quite know.
Evil shit goes down.
Yeah. Sign me up. A good horror film.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really it on that weekend.
So yeah.
But there's some limited stuff. There's a new version of Macbeth coming out.
Okay.
With, get this, Michael Fassbender and Marion Cotillard.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Love me some Shakespeare. Nice. So I can't wait to see that. I don't know when that's opening here. Never, because we live in a small market.
That's right.
A really cool Drafthouse Films movie called World of Kaneko. Did you see that at Fantastic Fest?
No, I didn't see it, no.
It's pretty awesome.
Right on.
I really like that one. And they haven't been doing this lately, but this one's going on VOD right away.
Okay, cool.
They haven't been putting their films on VOD lately. This one supposedly is.
Oh, right.
So everybody's going to have a chance to see it. It's pretty damn good.
Cool.
And last but not least, Youth.
Youth.
The new Paolo Sorrentino film that I absolutely freaking adore.
Nice.
With Michael Caine and Harvey Keitel and Rachel Weisz. And yeah, one of the best films of the year. Can't wait for you to see it.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
And hopefully we'll have a cool discussion about that one soon, because
I
really want you to see that.
Right on.
But that's it, man. But we got a huge film fest coming up.
Yeah,
so
huge, huge film fest.
We'll be doing that.
Yeah, so look for us. We're going to be talking lots about Whistler on the next episode. We'll probably have a special episode with our friends over from after the credits. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
Yeah.
We did it last year. It was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
We've done it 2 years in a row, and it's their fault if you don't like our podcast. Because they were the ones that got us to start the podcast.
They did.
They talked about it, and then a couple days later, Adrian was like, so you want to do that podcast?
let's do it, man. Let's do it.
So, yeah.
And our idea caught on like wildfire here in Victoria.
Yeah, like a week later, some assholes started their own podcast, too.
That's crazy.
It's amazing how that works.
Weird coincidence. Yeah. Weird coincidence. We're pioneers of Victoria film discussion.
Yeah, we are the a true discussion podcast of Victoria.
Yeah, that's right. We watch movies. And on that note, I think we should close it down. I've had too much to drink tonight. Water, that is.
Yeah, from the Red Wing Cup.
That's right. I guess we should tell people where they can find us online. Where can they find you, Bill? You're on Twitter, right?
I'm on Twitter at SoundJam69.
Cool. And I'm on Twitter. I'm at Adrian_Charlie. The show has a Twitter account. It is at @thegreen_screen. As mentioned previously, we're on Facebook. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit like, and you can find our episodes there. Be a fan of The Green Screen of Death. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, any other podcast platform you may use on your mobile device. Just run a search for the green screen of death. And if you want to help us out, just hit like and leave a comment. Leave a review for us, and that helps us find a wider audience.
Tell us how much you loved Mockingjay Part 2.
Yeah, give us a reason why you enjoyed it. I'm curious to hear from some people who enjoyed it.
I'm legitimately curious.
Yeah. I'm going to go searching for anybody above the age of 14 who enjoyed this film. All right.
Good luck with
that. I'm just getting mean now.
Good luck with that.
All right. Well, again, thanks everybody for sticking with us. We thank you for listening. We'll talk with you next time.
Peace.